excited about the opportunity to be with you guys on this, the Lord's Day, this day that He's made. He's ordained it, and we're excited about the opportunity. I just want you guys to know, maybe something that you don't know, but you guys got an awesome pastor. Yeah, you have an awesome. Give God a hand clap for your pastor. You guys, you have an awesome pastor. I mean, it's and he knows. And on this side of the pulpit, sometimes there is some competitiveness that should not be in place, but it is there. But when you can meet a brother, and at the first meeting, that spirit-to-spirit connection is established, and that's only through God our Father. It just lets you know that God has aligned and arranged in His divine providence. Not our time, but according to His divine providence. I tell my wife all the time, I don't believe in happenstance. We connected across each other's path just when God wanted us to. And so I thank God for him, and I thank God for him allowing us to meet when he did. I won't talk too long. I'm not what they consider a long-winded preacher. I don't believe a lot in the theatrics of preaching. God's word is God's word, amen? And you let the word stand on what it is, and it's his word. I do ask, though, that if I say something that you agree with, the Bible says that we can say amen. 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 And if it steps on your toe, you can say ouch. You can do that as well. But I love for the interaction back and forth. So if you can do that, again, I promise I will not be long. God has been good to me, y'all. Better than he ought to be. And I notice that from time to time, but I notice it every day when I roll over in the morning and I get to look at a pretty face that's laying next to me. Some of you may not know as you get to know me. Some people may not think that I'm the easiest man to live with, but she has found a way through the grace of God to figure out a way to do that. So I want you guys to meet her. When God said it's not good for man to be alone, he was thinking on down the road for me. And he said, I'm going to make him a helper, somebody that can help him. And so God has given me a great joy, my wife, and I thank God for him and for her on a daily basis. So baby, stand up so they can see who you are. All right. All right. She is truly my... my help meet, and so we are thankful for God for her. Another thing that I ask as we go get ready to prepare to God's word, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I really like for the audience, the congregation, to keep your Bibles open. I'm going to ask that you would do that. A lot of times you see people, and that's why I like to sit in the back, they'll read the scripture, or even a preacher, you read the scripture and you close your Bible up. Don't do that. My brother told you that I did. I have written a book, but I've written nothing that's in the book. So I want to make sure that you know that I'm not making this up. So I really encourage you to keep your Bible open, because I'm going to try my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to just walk down through the scripture. And I want you to see how we do that. And it's what thus says the Lord. And he's just speaking through this mound of clay in Patrick LeBlanc. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. And our passage that we're going to look at today begins in verse 42. So we're going to read 42, 43, 44, and that's where our passage is going to give us our title. But we're going to go back a little bit after we read that. So Acts chapter 13. Verse 42. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say wait a minute. We'll wait. It's nothing wrong looking in the context. That's what it's there for. So if you don't know where Acts is, we'll wait until you find it. Once you find it, and if you're able, would you mind standing to honor the reading of God's word? Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 42, and I am reading from the New King James Version. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, and many of the Jews and the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. I'd like to put a tag on this by talking about a contagious church. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you now. Lord, I'm just so excited about this opportunity to stand and proclaim your word to these your people. Now, Lord, I pray and I recognize that in and of myself, Lord, I'm nothing. So right now, Lord, I pray, first of all, that you forgive me of my sins, my faults, my failures, every area of my life, Lord, where I've come up short of your glory. Father, I know right now that even at my best, Lord, it's considered as filthy rags before your presence. So right now, Lord, use me, clean me up, think with my mind and talk with my tongue in a way that will glorify you, a way that will edify your people, and a way that will horrify the devil. Father, we love you, we give you glory, and Lord, we're thankful for what you're yet to show us you're going to do. But we give you glory in advance, and it's in Jesus' name we pray these prayers now. Amen, 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 amen. A contagious church, contagious church. And when I met your pastor, we talked about evangelism, and he shared with me his thought for evangelism and his heart for the chosen people of God, the people of Israel, the people that God selected from all the nations at the beginning of time to be his chosen people. So with that in mind, and my passion for evangelism, allow me to unload a burden that has been bubbling inside of me that I feel needs to be broadcast. It's a biblical blueprint as drawn up by the divine architect, and it's motivated from these three things. Number one, a desire for me to introduce people to a man that can literally change their lives. Two, a determination to guide people in a deeper loving relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And three, bad theology. There are a few people, there's some preachers, some guys that believe that they're motivated or they are motivated or their motivation is misled because they believe that they can get just a few folk. And they can preach wealth, health, and prosperity, and in no time at all, they could have a large congregation or maybe even a mega church. But my motivation is on this line. Share the good news with Jesus, the good news of Jesus, and how that incorruption that was incorrupted took on corruption. And that how a loving God, through all of his infinite wisdom, saw that even, as I said earlier, even at my best, I'm filthy rags. God saw beyond all of that, and yet he gave his son, he stepped out of eternity, stepped out of eternity into time, and God did that so that he could redeem lost man from eternal damnation. I'm motivated by sharing that good news with people, that motivation that moves past what has happened in my past. See, there was a time, y'all, that I was wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. I was messed up. I was in a world of sin, living there, and was happy to be there. See, I'm just happy that there's nobody here that knows that Patrick. But we all, if we're open and honest, and I want us to be that way today, if we're open and honest, we all got some things in our past that we really don't want church folks to know. Amen? Amen. We all got some stuff, y'all. Come on now. I your pastor's here, so it's okay. We all got some stuff that we really don't want some people to know. And so I'm motivated by letting everybody know that there's a man who came down through 42 generations and came to wash away all of that stuff that I have recognized to be filthy in my sin. How did the songwriter put it? I was sinking, deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea saw my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now save am I. What was it? Love that lifted me. That's the good news that I'm motivated to share with people. Let me see if I can make it a little bit plainer. There was a man, a certain man that was standing in line at the grocery store. And if you can relate to the situation, just follow me. But there was a man that was standing in line, and there was a lady at the checkout. She was getting her groceries checked out. And as they kept scanning item after item, she realized that she was going to come up short. And when the total was rang up, the cashier told her what the amount was, and she realized she didn't have enough to pay what she owed. Follow me, I'm going somewhere. Follow me. She didn't have enough to pay for what she owed. So counting her money repeatedly, thinking that counting it over and over was going to change the amount, she kept counting her money. And then finally the cashier said, you either need to step out of line or put something back. Neither of which was a viable option for this young lady. And all of a sudden, this certain man that was in the line said, how much does she owe? And without a second thought, he put his hand in his pocket and he paid the difference. Y'all, one day, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to stand in that checkout line. I'm going to have to be in that checkout line. And when the total is rung up, Brother Fox, I'm not going to have enough to pay. I'm not going to have enough to pay for it. But I thank God that Jesus is going to say, I've already paid it. I've already paid it. It's already paid. So I don't know about you, but Scripture tells us very clear that the checkout line, 2 Corinthians 5:20, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of God and give an account of what we've done in our bodies, both good and bad. So there's going to come a day that checkout line, that we're going to be there, and we're going to have to be mindful of the fact that thank God that he saw before time that I wouldn't have enough. Even at my best, I wouldn't have enough to pay it. So our text today, something was preached at a synagogue that had the people motivated. Something was preached that made the people in attendance say that we're going to tell our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, we're going to tell everybody that we know what we heard here today. And preacher, if you preach that same thing the next Lord Day, we'll make sure we got a crowd here. So as a preacher, Brother Fox, I want to know what was preached that you're going to make everybody want to come out and hear this sermon. Amen? Please keep your Bibles open. Please keep them open, because I want you to see I'm not making this up. They said, if y'all just preach that same thing next week, we'll get some people here. We'll get some people here. So the message is, as a congregation, but mostly as people that are passionate about seeing other people get the good news, people like myself who are motivated to get people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, what was preached? What was the message that Paul said that motivated these people to have this urge for evangelism? So we find that in Acts chapter 13. The message is an extensive example of Paul's synagogue preaching. The scheme unfolds and it begins in verse 14. That's where he starts his sermon. He starts his sermon there in verse 14. It may be on the next page, but again, just keep your book open and we're going to just walk down through the scripture. I always try to tell people, if ever a preacher gets up and he starts his text is anywhere other than verse 1, you need to read back to verse 1 to see what happened coming up into the verse where he started at. Because verse 42 just tells us something happened in verses 1 through 41 that we need to kind of pay attention to. So when I saw this, I said, let me go back. I even went back a little bit further, Pastor. I went to chapter 12 and just read a little bit because, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they're on this journey, and they're taking the good news to these Jews and the Gentiles, and that's what Pastor and I have been talking about. So let me read about what's a good way that we can do this. And I found out that here's a good example. Because verse 14, it starts out, and it says in verse 14 that, but when they departed Perga, they came to Antioch, which is in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the ruler of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say it now. Paul has given us an example of how we can take God's words to his chosen people. Listen to what he said. He went to the synagogue. He addressed them, men of Israel who fear, and you who fear God. The message is pointed. It's addressed to the men of Israel. The next part of that is, and those of you who fear God. There were some other people there that let us know that this was a diverse congregation. Amen? Men of Israel and those of you that fear God. They're there. So men of Israel, the Gentiles are those that were attached to the synagogue, those that fear God. And he commanded them, listen. In other words, Pastor, may I have your attention, please? The scripture goes on to say that Paul stood up. Keep your Bible open. The tradition in the synagogue was that when they read the law of the prophets, the rabbi sat down. But Paul stood up. Why? Because of what he had to say, he wanted to make sure he could be heard and he could be seen. But the law of the prophets, the law, again, I don't want to take it for granted, is the first five books of the Bible. They call it the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible. So in tradition at the synagogue, they read the law. And then the prophets, not all the prophets, but maybe they picked a book here and there that they read. But this was the custom when they were at the synagogue. So after they did that, they came to Paul and Barnabas and said, men, if you guys got any words of encouragement, now I want you guys to stand up and preach. Now I want you to do that. And so, the first thing, Paul starts out in verse 16 is where his sermon starts. Please, verse 16 is where his sermon starts. But the first point that I want to make is, the first thing that Paul said that made them say, if you preach this same thing next week, I'll be back. And that first thing is that there are some promises from God. Did you know you got a promise from God, church? You got a promise from God. And if I can hear that I got some promises from God, Pastor, I'll be back. next week. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Keep your book open. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. And when they had removed him, he raised up from them David, the king, to whom also he had given testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, the man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up Israel a savior, Jesus, Yeshua. After John had first preached before the coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Through David, we have a promise that God is not going to leave us in this state. He's not going to leave us in this state of sin, of iniquity and transgression. He's not going to leave us in this state of depravity. God is going to one day bring us back to himself. Why? Because he made a promise. He made a promise. And God is not like man. Church, I'm here to tell you, if he makes you a promise, you can know that he's going to keep his word, and that's going to be. So, Pastor, if I can just get some promises from God, because I'm going through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff. What I really want to know is, will God be there when I need him? Do I have any promises from God that when things are rough, when things are tough, will God be there? I always tell my wife, I like to let Scripture help me explain Scripture. If you look at Deuteronomy 31, here's a promise from God. Be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for your Lord God is with you. He who has gone before you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 43. When I go through the waters, I will not be consumed. When I go through the rivers, they will not overflow me. When I walk through the fire, I won't get burned, because God, you are with me. Malachi 3:6. For the Lord, my God said, I'm the Lord, I don't change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Israel. If I can just get some promises from God, preacher, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. If I just know that in spite of how things, when I come to church and I hear a preacher tell me that when I'm going through some stuff, when my family is fake and my family fails me and my friends are few and my money is funny and things just not going like I thought they ought to be, when I need somebody who to be there for me, it's not that they're there, but I need to know that they care for me. If I know that I got God, I'll be back. I'll be back. Because in spite of what I'm going through, I know he's able to be there with me. Because so many times, anybody ever felt all alone? Have you ever, you know, now let me tell you something. You may not know this, but you can be in a room full of folk and feel by yourself. You can feel that way. But ain't it something to know that God will tell you, I will never leave you nor forsake you? That when you go through the water, you know, it might seem like it's too much for you. When you go to the fire, you won't get burned. That won't happen. I'm going to walk with you. Here's the thing I like to tell people. If it's over your head, it's still under his feet. Some of y'all missed that. Some of y'all missed that. If it's over your head, it's still under his feet. Here's something else. This is what I call a shockaroo. Listen. If it's not bigger than him getting up from the grave, y'all going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Because I don't know what you're going through that can top him raising, getting risen from the dead. I don't know what situation you got, and I really don't care. But I don't believe it's bigger than him getting up from the grave. Amen. So if I got some promises from God, guess what?
I'll be back. I'll be back next week. I'll be back. All right. Secondly, here we go. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to walk down through the scripture. The next thing that he said that made these people be motivated to go share the good news with everybody in the city was that there is salvation through Christ. I got promises from God. The second thing is there is salvation through Christ. Look at verse 26. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, those among you who fear God, to you the word of salvation has been sent. I don't think he can make it no plainer than that when he's preaching. But listen who he's addressing. Sons of Abraham. Pastor, I think that's Israel. Sons of Abraham, but also there are some Gentiles with them, and those of you that fear God, to you, salvation has been sent. If I know that I got salvation, if I know that Jesus Christ gave his life for me, that I might have, he gave life that I might have life, guess what? I'll be back next week. Tell me that salvation is available. I'll be back. The message of salvation is referred to all the way back in verse 23. When Jesus, God had appointed Jesus to be the Savior. You know, he was raised from the dead. He went to the cross. He died. He died to the point that when they took him down to the cross, that the elements got sick with epilepsy. They started having fits. And when they put him in the ground got so sick that it started regurgitating the dead. And he spit up, and Jesus got up out of that grave and declared that all power in both heaven and earth has been given to me. And because he got up, we have the right to salvation. Because he got up, he defeated our adversary, the devil. He defeated Satan by getting up out of that grave. And guess what? Because he's defeated Satan, I have victory over Satan. So it's nothing that the devil can give to me. It's nothing he can throw at me that I have not the ability to conquer through Jesus Christ. You got to know that. A lot of times we give the devil too much power. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to tell you that he ain't got no power, because he does. But the Bible tells me very clearly he doesn't have all power. He doesn't have all power. And you got to be mindful of that. Because Jesus got up, he defeated our adversary. And he gave me victory over our adversary. So what did I say? Again, let me let scripture help explain my point. 2 Corinthians 2:5-17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know, my grandmother, sixth grade education, she used to tell me, you know what the devil does, Patrick? He makes you walk around with a bag of manure. So every now and then you can stick your hand in it and rub it over your face to remind yourself of how filthy you are. He's been a liar and a trickster from the beginning. But you got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. I said it yesterday. I love Romans 8. You need to read Romans 8 if you got time. Add that to your study time. Romans 8 starts out like this. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Meaning, he knows what you did. He knows where you've been. You don't believe me? The Bible tells me, where can you go? And he's not there. If you make your bed in hell, he's there. If you go up to heaven, he's there. If you go to the other part of the sea, he's there. Where can you go from him? But then verse 34 of Romans 8 says, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. So if you tell me, Pastor, I got salvation in Christ, guess what? I'll be there next week. I got a promise from God. I got salvation in Jesus Christ.
I want to let somebody, look, they said, brothers, if y'all just preach that same thing next week, we're going to go all through the city and we'll have a crowd here next week. Now, maybe you don't need salvation, because, you know, maybe you're just not excited about the fact that you need to be saved. But Fox, if there was some video from North Louisiana back in the day, y'all run me up out of here. But God, while I was dead in my trespasses and sin, you know, Pastor, I'm going to come to church, but I got to get it right first. I got to get it right. Y'all just don't know, it's some things that I've done that I got to get fixed first. You can't fix it. You got to know that, church. You can't fix it. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. It is a gift of God. You can't work it out. So, you want me to come back next week, Pastor? Tell me I got some salvation through Jesus Christ. The raising of the dead, he defeated our adversity, giving us the victory as well. He took from Satan the power that he had, and now we give it back to him to hover and use over us. Claim back what the devil has stole from you right now, children of God. Claim it. God has given you the victory. Claim it in the name of Jesus right now. And know that through God, you are more than a conqueror. You are victors. You're not victims anymore. Salvation through Jesus Christ. How can we become a contagious church? We need to tell people about the salvation of Jesus Christ. The third thing, again, it's right there in the text. The third thing is, first, I got a promise from God. Number two, I got salvation in Jesus Christ. The third thing is, there's forgiveness of my sins. Look at verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. Now let me teach you something that I kind of had to learn, that a lot of times we don't understand exactly what sin is. Sin, there are three words in the Bible that can be used interchangeably for sin. The first one is the word sin. The first one, sin. Sin just means I missed the mark. I tried to do something and I came up short. The second one is iniquity. Iniquity means crooked. You ever been nailing a nail and all of a sudden the nail bent? There's iniquity in the nail. It's crooked. And the third one is transgression. Now that one transgression, you got to watch yourself there. Because, see, transgression means you knew and you did it anyway. Keep off the grass, you walk on the grass. Don't cross the line. If you look up in the dictionary, you transgressed the line. So God's word has been given to you, and you transgressed God's word. But here, he tells us, I know you knew what it was. You tried, brother, and you missed the mark. Brother, you got some crookedness in you. That's okay. Pastor, you saw the sign and you transgressed the line. Verse 38 says, I have forgiveness. Child, y'all should have shouted right there. You know, when you do something wrong and you gonna be forgiven, there's nothing you can do. I just told you that verse 34 said, there's nothing you can do that's going to separate you from the love of God he has through you through Christ Jesus. That while you were still dead in your trespasses and sin, Christ died for you. Preaching is generally, you know, around this application that there is forgiveness in sin, from sin. There's forgiveness, justification in faith through Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I'm not, you hear people all the time, I thank God that I'm not what I used to be.
Don't let that just be a cliche. Sometimes you got to sit down and run reference. Have you ever just sat down, and really, Michael Jackson, looked at that man in the mirror? Have you really ever looked at this person in the mirror? And you have to say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not what I used to be. I'm just grateful, Lord. Look, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but thank you that I'm not where I used to be. You know, I tell people, because so many times, again, you got to remember, we talked about the adversary. He doesn't go away. Because just like God knows what you've done, the devil knows what you've done. How can God forgive you for all this? And he can run a better record than you can. How can God forgive you for what you did and where you went and what you said and who you was with and how you did? How can God forgive you? But that's why I love what the Bible says, that just as far as the east is from the west is where he cast our sins. You know, and some of you young people may not know, but if you start driving east, you'll always go east. East and west will never connect. So that's why the Bible can say just as far as the east is from the west is how far he cast your sin. They will never connect. So don't let the devil lie to you. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. I know what you did was bad, but God has forgiven you. He said, I love you this much that I am going to give my only son. He's going to die in your place, because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So here's the thing. And again, let me give you another shockeroo. Lamentations 3 says, God's mercies are new every day, every morning. You know why? Because justice demanded that you die. The wages of sin is death. So if we wake up in the morning, it's because of God's mercy. His mercies are new every morning. So evidently, whatever you did, Pastor, it wasn't bad enough that he wanted you to, for you to die. He forgave you. I'm going to give you another chance to get it right. I'm going to give you another chance to correct those things that need correcting in your life. Amen? Oh, I like that. I like that. I need another chance to correct some stuff. Because I got some stuff that I need correcting in my life. So I'm going to give you another chance. I like how Isaiah 38 says it. He's cast our sins behind his back. So he won't have to look at them anymore. He's cast our sins. Psalms 103 says it like this. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he punished us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, he's cast us and removed us from our transgression. Those three words. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. He's not punished us according to our iniquities. And he's removed our transgressions from us. Pastor, I know I got forgiveness of some sin. I'll be back next week. I'll be back. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible tells us about how to have a contagious church. If we can just go out and share some people that I know a man that can give you some promises that he won't break. Anybody ever had a promise broke? But I know somebody that can do, that will never break a promise. I know somebody that can give you eternal life, eternal salvation. But then I know somebody that can forgive you of all the stuff, the junk, the mess. I don't care what it is. I don't care. And that's a bold statement. Because if some of y'all like me, y'all done some stuff. I'm telling you, because I was there. Lord, I know you don't want me. Because I ran reference to all the stuff that I had done. And God knew. Do you know you can't surprise God? How many did y'all know that? Y'all got to know that. Fox, there's nothing you can tell him that he don't already know. You know, you may think you got some secrets. Because, see, we think that when we go in the room and we cut off the light and the door closed, am I the only one? You know, you go in the room, you cut off the light and the door closed, that can't nobody see. But God says, I don't care where you go. I know. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent. You can't get out of his sight. And while you were messed up, tied up, tangled up in a whirl of sin, debauchery, whatever you want to call it, he said, you know what? I love this man. I love this woman. I love Fox. I love John. I love Jamie. I love Wanda. I love Patrick. I love you enough. I love Mark. I love you enough that I'm going to sacrifice my son. The only one that knew what it was going to take to pay it. I told you about that lady in the grocery store line. There was some other folks there, but their pockets wasn't deep enough. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Their pockets weren't deep enough to pay the cost for what I had done. So Jesus came. He went to that cross willingly. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I like it when he said, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Right there, he let me know that I don't care, Patrick. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how bad you think it was. I don't care. It's finished. Once you have been written in the book, once your name is in that book, it can't be removed. It can't be removed, y'all. And let me show you. Let me show you this, and I'm done. Let me show you this. Because the Jesus says that you are in his hand. And then he says, my hand is in the Father's hand. Y'all follow that? That's in Scripture. That's Scripture. So if the devil want to take you out, he got to crawl up in God's hand. And Pastor, he ain't finna do that. He ain't finna do that. So once you are in, church, you in. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Church, if you tell people that there are some promises from God, if you tell them that there's salvation in Jesus Christ, if you tell them that they got forgiveness of their sins, they'll be back next Sunday. God bless you. May God keep you. I'm going to let you come, Pastor, and give you the invitation. But remember, I got some promises from God. Salvation in Jesus Christ. And forgiveness of sins. That's a contagious church. Amen. Amen. Amen.